If you would turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. And make your way to verse number 42 of Mark chapter 10. We want to give just a little bit of time and attention to verses 42 through 45. When you found that in your particular version, your Bible, love for you to look at the screen so that we can read it aloud together in unison. Amen. Mark chapter 10, beginning with verse 42. Let's read. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Father, we thank you for the truth of your word and how Jesus sought to lead us and direct us in truth so that we might know how to live this life that you have given to us. We pray now that God, as you have been with us all morning long, you will continue to give us wisdom and insight and revelation. Yes, fresh God revelation from your word that helps us to walk in step with your will and your way. We thank you and ask that you will now speak in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. So I started last week kind of talking about the truth of the matter. I kind of like that expression, and I keep repeating it. If you've had conversations with me, you probably heard me say the truth of the matter is. Because Jesus, as he has been unfolding these scriptures, as we have been studying, has been revealing for us truth. And so today I want to talk about the truth of the matter is that service is a core value of the kingdom. Service is a core value of the kingdom. When you and I don't serve, when we don't give ourselves on behalf of another, we fall short of what Jesus expects of his disciples. When you and I are in pursuit of our own interest and our own interest alone, we miss the message of the kingdom of God and the message of the Son of Man, who came to give his life as a ransom for many. When we become so fixated on what we can get, what we can gain, the status that we can achieve, our eyes have not yet been opened. But I praise God that he is patient and he is kind and that he is long-suffering. And even when you and I have not yet arrived, I'm thankful that he is not finished. Amen. As long as you stay on the wheel, he will achieve what it is that he desires to achieve in each one of our lives. And that is this, to make us look like him. It is his desire that you and I be conformed to the image of Christ. If you dare say that you are a Christ follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ, a child of God through the person of Jesus Christ, by the finished work of Jesus Christ, then the expectation is that you look like your daddy. Amen. Amen. He like, don't claim me and then don't look like me. Amen. Because he is committed to shaping us and forming us so that we look like him, and so that everywhere we go, what we leave is the sweet aroma of the kingdom of God expressed by the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. The truth of the matter is this: service is a core value of the kingdom of God. Which means that he calls us to serve. Now, that is interesting. I started reading at verse number 42 in this section, and this particular verse starts with a response from Jesus Christ to some activity that was already happening. If you were with us on Wednesday night, you had a chance to get deeply involved in what was unfolding regarding this response that Jesus gave, because there were two of Jesus' followers who came to Jesus and made a request of him, and they said to Jesus, listen, we want you to do us a favor, that you know what, when you actually make it into your glory, when you achieve the thing that you came to do, here is what we want. We want you to let one of us sit on your right. These were two brothers, by the way. And then we want the other one sitting on your left. We want to be your right-hand man and your left-hand man. And they came and made this request of Jesus. Jesus said to them, listen, I am not able to do the thing that you are asking of me, because the positions that you are desiring have already been established and set aside by my Father who is in heaven. And Jesus said, I've come to serve my Father and to fulfill his mission. And as much as I like you guys, I can't overthrow Daddy's rule. I've got to place myself in subjection to what my Father has said, and I can't go and I will not go and say, Daddy, I really like James and John, so will you say whoever it is that you have reserved, will you tell them they can't sit here? I'm not going to use my authority to get you a good spot next to me, because I trust my daddy's decision making enough to know that he has already made the right decision about who he wants here. And far be it for me to go and second guess my Father. So I'm going to be cool with what he has decided. And so, nope, you can't sit at my right and you can't sit at my left. But we still cool, boys. Everything cool. We ain't got no problems. So I love this, because Jesus was cool, but when the other 10 heard Jesus, what the brothers had asked, they got a little bit upset about the brothers going and making this request of Jesus. The Bible describes it as they became indignant that their expression in response to the request was expressed with with passion, anger, and frustration. And they were like, how dare you go and ask that you be set apart? Their response is different from Jesus' response. Jesus just said, no, that spot or those spots have been reserved by my Father. They are not mine to give. Glad you had the confidence, boys, to come and ask me, but yeah, that's what he said, but no. We don't see in the text anywhere that Jesus gets upset with them. Now, this is critical because remember, the one that we're learning from is Jesus. The one we want to emulate is Jesus. Our Christ-likeness, we want to look like Jesus. So even when people come and ask you some stuff, that you know ain't right, that you're not to respond like the disciples, the other 10 who became indignant and started name calling, right? Your response is to be more like Jesus. Speak truth and do it in love. Oh boy, if we could learn how to do this. Come on, can you only imagine if we could learn how to just speak truth and do it in love? I don't know if the Republicans and Democrats can learn how to speak truth and do it in love. We may be able to make some actual decisions and move some things forward. Oh, I wasn't supposed to get on that. I'm sorry. Just keeping it real. Because here's the deal. There are some folks in the Republican Party that claim they belong to God. There are some folks in the Democratic Party that claim they belong to God. They are doing their things, but they ain't being, can I go ahead and say it, Christ-like. And what Jesus is saying to you and to me, that we are in this world, but we are not to take on the value system of this world. We are in this world, but we are not to operate like the people of this world. We are in this world, but we have been called to be distinct from this world. And he says that you and I need to carry forth a set of values that match where your citizenship is. If you belong to Jesus Christ, you are a citizen of heaven. So you need to have a set of values that match the values of the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus is teaching us that it's okay to say no. You don't have to be mean and ugly when you say no. You speak the truth when you, in fact, you don't even have to sever the relationship when you say no. That you can say no, speak truth, and continue to walk in your purpose without being mad and upset. You know, I can camp out there for a while because there are some of us who have given our peace over because we getting angry about some stuff that's being said and done, and we are no longer able to walk in peace because we so mad. We mad. And it's like if the conversation or if the thought comes up, you ready to spit tacks. It's like, oh my goodness. No. You speak the truth. Now, you got to know the truth to speak the truth. You speak the truth, and it has to be done, though, in love. Amen? So Jesus tells them, you can't. The disciples get upset. The other 10 get upset and says, how dare you? And in so doing, they kind of expose where their hearts are. And what they reveal, we can see that James and John ask a question out of selfish ambition, that we can all see that this ain't right. But then we look at the other 10 and we see their response and we say that they ain't right either. So what we see is that the 12, though they have walked with Jesus, have not yet fully comprehended the message of the kingdom. And again, I'm thankful to God for his patience. I'm thankful that when we don't quite get the picture, that he doesn't throw in the towel on us. Yeah. Amen. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that he is long-suffering and that his word is true. He says that that what he has planned for you will be fulfilled, that he will work out his purposes in your life, that even when you don't look like what he wants you to look like, he's willing to keep chipping away at that old stuff until the image that don't belong falls off so that you can start to look like Christ. Look like Jesus. Amen. Amen. So Jesus says, come here, fellas. Let's talk. Yeah. That's what he says. Let me holler at you. So he gets them all together. And he gives them this core value that we were just talking about. That service matters in the kingdom of God. This is the way Jesus said this. He says, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. So he's like, you guys can see what the people around you do and how they operate, how they have achieved their power, their authority, how they exercise it. You see what they do. He says, but remember now, you then are not to be like this. He says, instead, whoever wants to be great among you, in the NLT, it says, the New Living Translation, it says, whoever wants to lead, because, you know, these days, a lot of people talk about they want to lead. So in the NIV, it's saying whoever wants to be great. In the NLT, it says whoever wants to lead. You want to lead. He says the first thing then that you have to do is to become what? A servant. You must be a servant. So he says, listen, this is where you've got to get your mindset around that if you're going to lead in the kingdom of God, leading looks like service to others. He says, whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. This language that Jesus is using is kind of saying that, look, you've got to give yourself over in service to people so that you can fulfill what it is that I desire to do in their lives. It is as though Jesus is looking beyond you and saying, I've called you to be an instrument in somebody else's life, an instrument of blessing in somebody else's life. But in order for that to happen, you've got to stoop low so that I can actually work through you. He's saying you can't be up high in your attitude. You can't be up high in your mindset. You can't be up high in your practices, trying to serve as a conduit for the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. He says, you've got to go low in order for the grace to flow. That was good, wasn't it? Huh? Huh? Come on now. Come on now. Come on, y'all. You got to. He says, and remember the source of grace, where it's coming from, it's coming from on high. And he says that if it's going to flow, you got to be down here. You got to be down here low enough because you don't want to impede the flow of grace. Do I need to camp out there for a minute? Because when you up high, caught up in yourself, grace has come your way, but you're impeding the flow of grace. You think it's all for you. No. His grace is sufficient enough to hit you and to spill over. Ooh, y'all gonna get me excited. His grace can spill over, but you've got to be ready to receive it. And if you're up high, what you do is you block the flow. You block the flow of grace so that it does not make it to the source or the place where God intended it to go. Here's what happens. When you're up high, you become like the Dead Sea. Remember, the Dead Sea is at the end of the Jordan River. The Jordan River is actually flowing down. So in the Jordan River, you've got the Sea of Galilee where it is full of fish and life because the Sea of Galilee is caught right there in the middle of the Jordan River. The river flows. The Sea of Galilee gets its deposit, and then it lets it go. And so there's a constant flow that's coming through. And because of that, life is teeming in the Sea of Galilee. You move a little bit farther down from the Sea of Galilee, and you get to the Dead Sea. When it hits the Dead Sea, there is no outlet for it to take place. And they describe the Dead Sea as the place where wildlife or fish have died. They get there and they die, and they talk about the stink associated with it, that because there is no outlet for it to flow. And when you're too high, you become like that, where God's grace will not flow in your life because you so high and thinking that everything is about you, that you're not willing to give out what he has put inside of you to be a blessing to someone else. The whole picture and concept of service is the idea of you pouring out yourself on behalf of others. A couple of words, and I just want to give you this, a couple of words that help us understand what service looks like, what ministry looks like, is presented in Mark chapter 1, verse 13. You can write that down, Mark chapter 1, verse 13, where it talks about when Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted by the devil. It said the angels came and they served Jesus. The angels came and ministered to Jesus to help him. In Mark chapter 1, verse 31, it says that Peter's mother-in-law was sick. And when Jesus showed up in her house, Jesus laid his hands on her, prayed for her, and her fever left. And when she got up and she began to serve the people that were there. She began to wait on them. She was serving. So the minute the angels ministered and served Jesus, Peter's mother-in-law got up and served and waited on the people that were there. And then you remember the story in John chapter 12, specifically verses 1 through 3. It talks about how Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Lazarus, you know, the guy that he raised from the dead. And it said that there was a dinner that was given there on his behalf. And oh, by the way, Martha served and took care of the people as Lazarus was reclining around the table. The idea of serving was pouring out of yourself. John chapter 12, by the way, is a great chapter to go and read, because in that chapter you also get a picture of Martha's sister Mary also serving, because it's in that chapter that she takes and she anoints Jesus with this very expensive jar of perfume. She pours out what has been given to her to serve and minister to him. So the idea of service, again, is pouring out of yourself. And so Jesus is saying that anyone who wants to be great, anyone who wants to lead, you need to then pour out yourself up on others. You need to serve. What God gives you, the strength that he gives you, you need to use that strength to serve others. Jesus says it this way in Matthew chapter 6. He says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness." He says that in the context of this, you don't have to worry about chasing down the things of this world. He says, because if you seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, he will give you everything that you need. You won't get caught up worried about this, that, and the other, because God will take care of you. Amen. And then Jesus gives the pattern. He gives the pattern when he makes this statement. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So there Jesus gives part of his mission and his objective. He did not come, even though he left a place of glory, even though he is King of Kings, even though he is a prince, he did not come to be served. He came to serve others. And we see it in his life. As you and I read the Gospels, we see Jesus going about and he's serving others because that is his purpose. He came to serve others and to meet their needs. He came to minister to others and to meet their needs. He came to meet those who were in their lowest places and give them strength and to give them hope. He came to get with the hungry and give them food to eat. He came to get with the sick and he came to open up the eyes of the blind. Jesus said he came to serve and not to be served. And that's what you and I saw unfolding out of Jesus, that every time he connected with a crowd, he went with the idea of serving, and the power of God just kept flowing through him so that everywhere he went, those who were broken were met and seen with compassion, and he healed them. The disenfranchised, those who were on the sideline, he looked at them and said, I see you and you are not alone. Those who have been isolated because of sickness, diseases like leprosy, he was willing to go over and touch them and remind them that they were still human too. And he didn't stop there. He brought healing because the power of God was at work in him as he fulfilled his mission. And I dare say this, if you and I are going to be conformed to the image of Christ, if we're going to look like Christ, that means that you and I are going to have power that flows through us when we go to serve others. You got to get that. I didn't say when you go to build up your platform. Amen. Amen. I said when you go to serve others, when you go to be the expression of the love of God, his power will flow through you because you are no longer worried about lifting up your name. Now you're worried about lifting up his name. Now you're trying to give him the praise. You're trying to give him the glory. You're trying to give him the honor. You're trying to acknowledge that it is by his power that all of these things are done. And now that you've made him the centerpiece, he says, yes, I'll use you to be a blessing in the life of somebody else. But you got to be willing to serve. Because service is what a core value of God's kingdom. So he says he didn't come to be served, but to serve, and you got to get the second part, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Which means that Jesus understood that there would be no connection with the Father if he did not give his life in the place of others. That in order for men and women to be connected to God the Father, that Jesus Christ had to be their substitutionary. He had to be the one who stood in the gap, who took upon himself the sins of not only the world, but that individual, so that they could be forgiven. Amen. And so he said he came to give his life as a ransom, which means that somebody was being held hostage. Amen. Amen. Somebody was being held hostage. Go ahead, point to yourself and say, that was me. That was me. I was being held hostage by the devil. He had me, and he was misusing me and abusing me because I did not have the power to overcome him. But when Jesus came and shed his blood, Jesus provided me with something that the devil just can't touch. Yeah. He came as a ransom to set me free from the power of the enemy. Hallelujah. When Jesus died, death could not hold him. And because death could not hold him, he became for us everything that we need to experience victory in this life. Can I tell you that if there's a particular thing that still has you hostage, you don't need to worry. You keep hooking up with Jesus. He'll set you free. Whatever you do, don't try to take it into your own hands. Let Jesus set you free, because he has the power and the authority to ransom you. Hallelujah. And so Jesus comes and he dies so that you and I can be set free to serve. And here's the good news that I want to leave you with. When you begin to embody this core value of service in the kingdom, God begins to pour out on you things that you were not expecting or asking for, because you make his work more important than your own. He begins to provide for you stuff that you didn't know he had in mind for you. Because God is such that he never ever forgets the service that you do. There's never an act that you perform that God overlooks. Oh, it is made clear in the story where Jesus talks about, you know, the sheep and the lamb. Excuse me, the wolves. It's made clear there when Jesus comes back, and he says to those, look, you took care of me. You fed me when I was hungry. You saw me when I was naked. You gave me some clothes. You gave me a place to stay. And he says to them that they shall be blessed. Right? Because he says that he never, ever overlooks anything that you have done on his behalf. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 10, it says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped, that's called served, as you have served his people and continue to serve them. So God is looking at you. He's watching you. And every time you perform an act of service, God, it says, he is not unjust, but he won't forget what you have done. And what begins to happen is that as you continue to pour yourself out on behalf of others, there's a peace that overtakes you. Amen. There's a peace that you can't explain that overtakes you. It's a peace that comes to you, not because you have everything, but because you've got God. When you start to serve him, when you get yourself lost in service to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, there's a strength that you start experiencing. All of a sudden, because you wait on the Lord, your strength is renewed like that of the eagles. And when you thought you couldn't run anymore, he put some wind underneath your wings. And all of a sudden, you begin to soar and do the things that you thought you didn't have the energy to do. Oh, when you get caught up in this core value of service, God begins to show up for you and provide for you out of the abundance of his river of delights. You haven't been able to make ends come together. But let me tell you about the God who is a bridge over troubled waters. He shows up in the middle of your trouble. And where you've been straining here and you've been straining there to bring those pieces together, he steps in and he says, I'll be your bridge. When you get caught up in this core value of service, God looks at you. And he says, I know you've been struggling. I know you've had some aches and some pains. But what you need to know is that I am the God who heals you. And my grace is sufficient to keep you. And as long as you are willing to keep walking in my will and in my ways, I'll be the strength that you need to keep carrying on. And here's what you start saying, stupid stuff like this. Oh, this thing ain't got to get no better. God been taking care of me. You start saying, yeah, my back is hurting, but that's all right. The Lord will make a way somehow. You stop asking for your healing, and you just start celebrating in the grace and the strength that he has provided, and you just start walking in his will and in his way. And all of a sudden, when you stop asking, one day you wake up and you say, wait a minute. You say, yesterday that thing was feeling a little funny. But today, I got some mobility today. Because the God that you serve sees you as you serve. And pours out his grace upon you. And you discover that his grace is more than enough to keep you in the midst of anything that you might be facing. Amen. Come on, give God a hand clap. Give him a hand clap of praise. Celebrate him. Celebrate him. Hallelujah.